Two of our Assembly members have actually spoken about their ordeal at the hands of stalkers. The DUP's Brenda Hale revealed her experience yesterday, saying that every day she woke up with a feeling of dread, knowing that he would follow me, a reference to a time when she was being stalked. The Green Party's Claire Bailey told MLAs as well about her stalker during, this was during a debate about forming some legislation to combat the crime here in Northern Ireland. One of the MLAs, Claire Bailey, joins me on the line. Claire, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Claire, it is something that isn't really taken seriously. If I was to say to someone, I think I have a stalker, they would say, fair play, what does she look like? You know, it's that sort of jokey attitude that we have to get over, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think we do need to do all we can to change the cultural understanding of the impact of this crime and who is perpetrating it as well. I think there's a lot of education has to be done on both sides so as we can understand the crime and, you know, we can work with those who are perpetrating it as well and get them to stop, really.
Now, you had a serious problem where the stalker even interfered with your car.
And not just my car. I had a series of things that happened, and it takes a wee while to sort of link them and believe, you know, have the confidence in yourself to believe that they are linked. So things going missing out of my garden. Someone else's car, it was parked outside my house, was damaged. And then it was my 40th birthday, and I remember doing the school run. I left the kids to school and I was heading to work, and my car tires blew. So I got to a garage and they were fixing the wheel, and they pulled out a razor blade from the tube of the tire. So I've no doubt that was put there as a little birthday present for me. And it was at that point I decided, no, this is a bit too serious, and I reported to the police. The police came out and they had a chat with me. Now, they weren't unsympathetic, but, you know, they eventually just asked me, well, what is it you expect us to be able to do?
Yes, without revealing any identity, was the stalker a complete stranger, or had you crossed the path of the stalker sometime in the past?
Well, the way the law is, they're actually protected. I can't name them in law in public, but I think regardless, you know, it was behaviours that was going on. It was very serious incidents that were taken, are happening, and put my life and the life of my children at risk. And let's not forget, I drove into a school as well to drop them off. So it could have been very serious.
So when that stalker was operating, whether it is someone you had crossed the path of and saw face to face in the past, or indeed whether it was a complete stranger who just had some sort of fascination with Brenda Hale, or not with Brenda Hale, with Claire Bailey, because Brenda's had her problem as well.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
If it, you know, whether it is either or, how does it feel to have that person looming in the background?
Well, you're constantly on high alert. You know, you're never comfortable because this was happening. It was physical. It was around my home. It was in my garden. It was people's property, my own property as well. You're never settled. You're never comfortable. You're never relaxed. You're never sure of yourself, which is a really big issue as well. Always doubting yourself, always constantly questioning. And when you do piece it together and put it together and said that I'm being stalked, then you try and figure out, is it my behaviour? Is it something that I've done? When it's none of those things, you know, this is somebody else deliberately interfering with your own personal space. And I think the reason I believe that we need specific stalking legislation is because I do not believe that the harassment laws that we have at the minute go far enough in identifying the specific crime. And if we can get the law passed, I mean, Scotland's passed the stalking laws in 2010. England, Wales started looking at theirs in 2011. I think 2012 they passed it into law. But yet again, we have Northern Ireland, you know, exempt from these laws again. You know, so the people in Northern Ireland are not being protected again. So I think it's really, really important that we address this during this mandate here at Stormont. And our last Justice Minister, he did look into it, but was advised that our laws, our current laws as they are, were able to deal with it. But as we are seeing, that's not the case. And he has since changed his mind. So I'm actually really delighted that after recess, the first assembly debate that we had was this one that was brought by Brenda Hale and her colleagues. And not only that, but it was fully supported across parties on the floor. There was no objections at all to it. And even the Justice Minister, who spoke in favour of having a look at the law, she's already instructed her department to advise her whether change is needed. So I'm hopeful that we will get a move on this during now, this mandate.
Obviously, there is a law. If someone interferes with a car and puts lives at risk, there's legislation to cover that. That has nothing to do with stalking. But
that didn't happen in my case.
Yeah, but if it was pushed and you were able to prove that someone indeed did interfere with your car, the law is there to protect you on that. However, if someone is standing three, you know, lampposts down from your house watching you in the morning, mm-hmm. and walking 100 metres behind you when you go to the shops, or indeed they pass you 20 times a day as you go in and out of your office, they can easily say, well, I'm just going about my daily routine. What is wrong with this woman? What is she complaining about? Yet and all, the psychological torture that individual is putting you through is immense. So in England and elsewhere where the law is in place, how do the police actually intervene to stop that really despicable person who is subtly torturing you?
Yeah, well, that's because they've now got the law, so they can act under specific legislation now. And there is a support group, they're called the Paladin Group, and they work with victims and survivors of stalking. And they have said they're based in England, but they also work with people from Northern Ireland as well if they want to contact them. But although they fought hard to have these laws introduced, and they're saying that they have seen a huge positive move since that has happened. But, I mean, we all acknowledge that a law is not a panacea. It is not a law on its own that will stop this behaviour or, you know, indeed wipe out a crime. But what it does do is allows us to then begin to record incidences, to begin to understand better both the crime itself and the impact of that crime on individuals. We can start to gather information and we can move forward from there. And I think that's the really, really important part, Frank, because once we know, we can begin to, you know, challenge ourselves on our thinking, challenge ourselves on our cultural understanding, on our acceptance of this. We have stats, and we can, you know, then begin to educate people in this is not okay, this is not good behaviour, and you're not allowed to do this, and there will be consequences. And I think that's the most important thing to achieve from this.
So stalking, it's really cruel when you're being stalked and there's that subtle mental torture, mm-hmm. and you're going through it on a regular basis, and no one is taking you serious whenever you express your disgust or your concern or your worry. I'm trying to get inside the mind of the person who is being stalked, and what it actually feels like. The person who's doing it, is it just a really subtle form of bullying, or might there be some semblance of mental illness within the individual who's doing the stalking?
Well, I wouldn't doubt that both are very real possibilities. You know, I think that there are people probably out there who would do it as a deliberate attempt to instill fear and control over another person. But equally, I have, you know, every confidence that a lot of people who are perpetrating this crime have mental health problems. And either way, they need to be helped, or, you know, they need to be sanctioned according to, you know, what the behaviour is doing and what they're thinking behind it is for. You know, we get Women's Aid, for example. Women's Aid in Northern Ireland here have put out, you know, statements. They say that 75% of stalking victims, their perpetrators have turned up at their workplaces. They send them gifts to the workplace. They make regular phone calls. They befriend work colleagues. You know, this type of surreptitious behaviour, you know, just putting themselves into their victim's space. And it actually happens, you know, as much within a relationship as it does after a relationship has been ended. So it's common that it is an ex-partner or, you know, a significant other at some stage who will be doing this. Very, very closely linked in those cases to domestic violence as well. So it's not just, you know, somebody having a bit of a laugh. There is a very, very, you know, serious consequences, and it's a form of terror, in my opinion. You know, it's organised terror, usually, you know, perpetrated in somebody's close domestic spaces.
Yeah, and most times it is someone who you have crossed the path of before, someone who you've been maybe in a relationship with before. Does it tend to happen where the male is the victim and the female is doing the stalking?
It happens both ways, but the statistics that we do have, and I think we do need better statistics as well, and that's, you know, another element, you know, of having it in legislation. But I think it's approximately 1 in 5 women will experience some form of stalking, and 1 in 10 men. So, you know, it's predominantly... oh, hello?
Yeah, we can still hear you.
I'm sorry.
I can't hear
you now.
Can you
hear that on the line?
I can hear you now. Yeah, just finish that sentence, Claire.
Sorry. So it is predominantly women who are the victims, but not exclusively. It does happen both ways. And I think the world of online profiles, online media, social media, also bring another element into it as well, you know, where it's very, very possible that, you know, strangers can, you know, start to contact you to build up a profile on you, then get your name, your date of birth, usually find out a telephone number, email, contacts, you know, and that can happen very, very easily as well. So, yes, it does happen, you know, within intimate relationships or a significant other, but it happens with strangers, as was the case in Brenda Hale's situation as well, you know. So it happens all over the place, you know, and it can be somebody, you know, as deluded just to think that they're doing no harm at all, right down to others who know exactly that the harm that they're causing, and it is, you know, a deliberate attempt to instill fear and terror in another person.
Well, it certainly has to be dealt with, and it has finally been taken seriously. Claire Bailey, thanks for describing it to us. Thank you.
Not a problem. Thanks, Frank.
It's the Deputy Leader of the Green Party, the MLA, Claire Bailey, making reference as well to the DUP's Brenda Hale.